I would say there are three trends and two strategic questions. First of all, I think there's still the strongest, most visible trend is the radical Islamist terrorism trend, where you see a slow but unfortunately so far unreversed rise in ISIL resurgence, so the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant, in several areas, unfortunately, in Southeast Asia, in West Africa, but also, unfortunately, in Iraq and in Syria. While at the same time, you do not see a weakening of the ISIL network. So that one, unfortunately, is something that is going to be with us in conceivable amounts during the coming year. Then the coming year is really the year where the make or break question of the foreign terrorist fighters in Syria and Iraq needs to be clarified. We still have too many people in camps in Iraq and in Syria that are not Iraqi or Syrians, and too many governments that are very hesitant or extremely slow or not at all taking them back home. As we discussed in previous occasions, this is a mega problematic trend, not only for Iraq and Syria, but mainly for the home countries of these individuals. If these individuals would ever leave those camps, flee those camps, or chaos breaks out and the camps simply stop disappearing. Then very much focused on Europe and North America, we do have a rise, unfortunately, in right-wing extremism and right-wing terrorism based on an ideology that allows now several groups in various countries to cooperate that did not cooperate before. The theory of the Great Replacement, most famously first time used as a propaganda tool in the horrible Christchurch attacks. But we do see a growing rise of violence, actual real world violence of right-wing extremist groups, both in North America as well as in Europe. In my opinion, the two major strategic questions in 2020 in the area of terrorism is what happens to the Taliban if there is an agreement with the United States, and we are inching slowly, slowly, ever closer to hopefully concluding one. My prediction or my assessment is going to be that as soon as the agreement is done, there will be splinter groups splintering off the Taliban. Every time there was a major political question for the Taliban, this happened. And now we have ISIL in Khorasan, which is the ISIL affiliate in Afghanistan, as a ready-made organization. So those splinter groups don't actually need to form their own groups anymore. They can just simply join ISIL. That is something that really needs to be closed, watched. And everyone who makes an analysis about violence levels in Afghanistan keeps telling me that with the peace agreement, we will see at least the same level of violence, and if not for a short time, even more violence. And the second strategic question is the Middle East, not just because of what happened yesterday in Washington, but on a more strategic sense, now that Syria is, you know, for all intents and purposes, at least as far as violence is concerned, slowing down compared to the horrible situation a couple of years ago. What happens with those groups who fought in Syria that are actually not Syrians? And I'm speaking here mainly, of course, of the Hezbollah. They have now built up their forces there. They've gained combat experience, and now they will have to somehow flow back into Lebanon. And coming in contact with a very unstable domestic situation there. So that's the two big questions. What happens in the Middle East with Syria now coming down at least for a moment? And what happens with the Taliban in Afghanistan? That's, I think, the five mega trends that we will talk fairly regularly about in 2020.
All right. So let's boil this down and shrink this down a bit. What is the most dangerous of all of the issues that you've mentioned?
Depending on what your definition of dangerous is, potential to kill more victims is hands down Islamist terrorism. And as I said, I don't expect a major drop in violence there. One thing that the demise of the caliphate has done is that possibly the ability to conduct terrorist attacks in Europe and North America has diminished, but that doesn't mean anything for the regions where the affiliates are, Middle East, Africa, Southeast Asia, Asia. That unfortunately doesn't have the same effect there.
Let me ask you one question. Let me jump in here. Does this mean that terrorism has been essentially, in the sense that we used to know terrorism from the big, massive, long, well-planned attacks with many, many people involved over years, that's a thing of the past, that now we're looking at these opportunistic situations?
Well, you can never say never, right? However, the last really complex attack that we've seen was Paris 2015, and that was a one-off. We have not actually, you know, I look at the Paris attacks and a month later, the Brussels attacks as one attack complex because it was one operational cell that organized those. And they, from the very start, had planned to have attacks in both cities. So that makes it into an extremely complex attack that took a long time to prepare. But ISIL has never really repeated this kind of planning. Al-Qaeda has tried to do individual attacks. If you remember, Mr. Awlaki in Yemen always came up with new ideas for spectacular attacks. So far, luckily, always unsuccessfully, save for the Charlie Hebdo attacks, which were not complex. I mean, this was just a question of enough people getting weapons and then going out and going on a shooting spree. So it was not a complex preparation that took part. So in a way, these mega attacks, we've seen a trend going away from that. From a perspective of the terrorist organization, these mega attacks have, of course, as in 2001, live world-changing implications, but it also had a massive cost for Al-Qaeda. Many of those small attacks change the political situation or scare the population just as much if they happen on a regular basis and are much lower cost and much easier to organize. Sometimes doesn't even require anyone from the center being involved in that. So these kind of more opportunistic attacks of individuals or cells, I think, is the new trend. And that also seems to be the new strategy, because these spectacular attacks always have a disproportionate price also for the terror organizations.
Dr. Hans Jacob Schindler is the senior director at the Counter-Extremism Project. J.J. Green, WTOP News.